I want you to think about some principles that are involved that you already know. Now, Peter, when he writes 1st and 2nd Peter, says, I'm writing this even though you already know this. I love that concept. It really has helped me as a younger preacher and as an older preacher to remember that people don't remember everything that you've taught. I heard once of a preacher who said, well, I've taught them everything I know. No, you may have preached everything you know, but you haven't taught them everything you know, and there's a world of differences in those two. So what I'm about to say is not anything new, but Peter uses the expression to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The fundamental thing that's happening in our life is the struggle between righteousness and unrighteousness. It's the fleshly side of me versus the spiritual side of me. Jesus had that very struggle. You remember how long he had fasted before the devil asked him to turn stones into bread? How many days? 40. Harold Pack says, any time you ask a question, how many? The answer is 40 or 7. So just take your pick. Imagine going 40 days without food. Imagine your body craving. You ever have an operation so that you're not allowed to eat anything after midnight? And for some reason, by 7 o'clock the next morning, you're dying. And then you get to the hospital and they say, well, we thought you were going to be first. You're going to be 18th today. I remember Don Deal. That name won't remember. Some will remember Don's situation. It was 4:30 the next afternoon before they did the procedure on him. Now imagine 40 days. And the fleshly side of Jesus craving a morsel of food. You stop and think about the struggle that the Son of God had is not unlike the struggle that we have. For the Bible says, Hebrews 4:15, that he was tempted in all points just like we are. Now, the reality is we want to be victorious, do we not? We want to win this battle. We want the spiritual side of us to come out on top. We want to be the kinds of people that are victorious. Now, do you know this verse? This is the victory that overcomes the world. You know the rest of that verse? You need to memorize it. Here's a key verse about going to heaven. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the fact that the devil has fiery darts. And you read that, and having lived in New Zealand, I think of the little dart board with a thing about that long, you know. Darts were the weapons they used to kill individuals in biblical times. Arrows, lances, and you and I need to understand that the devil has darts, not the little short ones, that are on fire. Think of the kind of warfare they'd have. You've seen it, in some older movies where they take arrows and light fire to the top end of that arrow and then shoot it to start a raging fire in the distance. That's what fire is. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, here's the devil coming at us with fiery darts. How are you going to overcome? How do you do what Jesus did whenever his body was craving? I really have got to have this food. 40 days without food. I'm hungry. My flesh is crying out. How do you do this? How do you deal with this? Now, Ephesians 6 says that there is that which God gives to us that can quench the fiery darts of the devil. If I tell you it's a shield, will that help you identify it? Shield made of what?
massive armament, you know, titanium or some massive metal will help us overcome? You know, what is that that God has given us that will help us overcome every trial in our lives? And the Bible says it's a shield of faith. Faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You stop, go back to that verse, 1 John, where it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And would you take the word world out of that verse and put in that verse the thing you're struggling with most in your life? You know, 1 John chapter 2 says, here's all that is in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the avenues by which the Lord comes, Satan comes to destroy us. Which of those avenues? But be specific in your own mind. What is your besetting sin? What is it that you're the most vulnerable about? What do you struggle with the most in righteousness? Now go back in that verse and substitute, this is the victory that overcomes the world, and that's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And substitute in that verse the very sin that you struggle with the most. And that may change from time to time. You know, the temptations that you have at one part of your life can in a moment's notice be flipped and become a temptation of a different sort because of circumstances that develop in our life, because of situations, things that happen, marital problems that you didn't know, problems with parents that you didn't know you had, problems with children, problems at work, problems with loved ones dying, problems with all of a sudden temptation that comes upon you because those around you are trying to pull you down and you want to be accepted. And this is the victory that overcomes every bit of that, even our faith. Fiery darts of the devil? I did not emphasize one word when I quoted that from Ephesians 6. Every fiery dart. Satan, bring out your toolbox of temptation and pick out one person here and bring it on. There's not a weapon in your arsenal that faith will not overcome. Now, having said that, think about the source of faith. What is faith? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. You young people especially are at a point in your life that's critical. There's some little children up and down the hallway, 3, 4, 5 years of age. And that teacher or that mom or dad talks about God in their presence, and they believe that. They believe that as much as they believe squirrels can talk to each other. Isn't that amazing? And their faith in God, while it is their faith, the foundation of their faith is not the Word of God. The whole issue that's happening in your life, in junior high, it's the kind of thing that's happening in your life. It is, you've got to decide, do you really, really believe there's a God? Those of you who are seniors, guys, you got to face up to it. The faith in God that's been a part of your life as far back as you can remember, that faith in God has got to be your faith. Where's that come from? Faith comes by hearing. Let me talk to others of you who have spiritual homes, but it's more the faith of your mate that makes it spiritual than your faith. And so when adversity comes, when situations come, the adversity that is there, that is protected in a sense because of an umbrella of faith that's over that home, inside that home, are young people that are growing up who are not getting their own faith, are husbands who ride into spirituality on the faith of their wives, or wives who depend on the spirituality of their husbands. Every dart of the devil is quenched, not in a generic way, by the faith of the church, but individually and specifically by personal faith. Jerry sang that song from Psalms 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from your commandments." Now listen to this. David says, how's a young person going to be spiritual? "Your word have I hid in my heart." God did not just zap into Jesus' head the words to say. When the devil said, "Turn these stones into bread," you think God just said, "Okay, got to have an answer to that," and so he just pops it into Jesus' head? No, no. Then he wouldn't be tempted like we are. If he just popped it into Jesus' head, then when we're tempted, we don't even have to study the Bible, don't have to have our own faith. God's not a respecter of person. He'll just pop it into our head. It's not the way it works. There was a mother and a father who saw a lesson that Jesus needed at that point in his life, and knowing that that child needed that lesson at that point in their life, had placed in the heart of Jesus those very words. Parents, what are your children going to face? Those of you who have children who are 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years of age, what are they going to face in their lives? You're just going to let them just sort of blindly grow up and just make sure you get them to all the sports activity on time and make sure they've got their homework done and that they know proper manners of please and thank you. And all of a sudden, they reach that point in their life and nothing has been placed inside their heart that qualifies them to deal with what really is out there. "Man shall not live by bread alone" is a verse that someone sometime in the life of Jesus said, "You need to memorize this." What if Mary had not taught him that? And what if we fail to see what our children are going to face and do not place within them at least the ability? So whenever those temptation comes and the fiery darts are being hurled at us, So that at least our child has the possibility of reaching back into those lessons that they had been taught when they were little and bringing out of those lessons the very words that would quench the fiery darts of the devil. "Fall down and worship me." Some way, somehow, somebody had taught Jesus, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and He's the only one that you're to serve." Parents and grandparents, there are lessons that we need to be putting in the hearts of our children and our grandchildren that will help them to understand these things. "Thou shalt worship." Hello? And worshiping God's not important in my life, in your life. Our children look at us and it's sort of a take it or leave it kind of thing. It's sort of optional as to whether we're there. Situations come up and we've taught our child, "Thou shalt worship." I haven't taught them that. And that doesn't relieve them of their personal responsibility. But what a great lesson that is to each one of us in dealing with our children. Hundreds of hours are spent every year by godly people in this church developing lessons that are designed to fortify the lives of people. I've preached long enough that while it bothers me, it doesn't bother me like it used to when you work and work and get a sermon all up and then the very people that needed it most were not there. But do you know how crushed sometimes our Bible class teachers can be because they've spent hours getting the artwork or whatever is involved in teaching that lesson, and they walk into the classroom and the children are not there? Or that ongoing problem that we have, and I guess we have it in every church, and that is children come in late. You really think you're teaching your children the most important thing in this world is God and spirituality? You think about David. There was a time whenever David, Psalm 73, was ready to quit. I quit. I'm tired of serving God. The wicked prosper better. They're better off than I am. Those individuals who are living ungodly lives, they don't have the problems that I have, and they're blessed as much as I am. And David said, and I'm ready to quit. I was nigh unto losing faith. My feet had almost slipped. Then he said, I went to the house of God, and there I remembered. The picture is bigger than just this David, a man after God's own heart. Do you think Jesus quit studying the Bible when he became an adult? That remarkable? Do you think that God just zapped it all in Jesus' head so that whatever came into his life, the answer was already there? If that's the case, he wasn't tempted like we are. And so whenever he sends the disciples away, when he's going to walk out on the sea to meet them in the night, he sends them away and he goes off into the mountainside by himself. Why? For the very same reason he told the apostles when the multitudes were there and they were being fed, the 5,000 and then later the 4,000. He says in Mark chapter 6 to the apostles, let's get apart, let's go away. And if we don't make those times in our lives, the press of what's happening, even busy, righteous things, feeding multitudes, can get us so wrapped up that we'll not have our own faith. Back to David. Wherewithal shall a young person cleanse his way? How are you going to live a pure life? Listen to this. Your word I've put in my heart. It's not that I know right and wrong. That's the easiest thing on earth to teach a child, what's right and what's wrong. You tell a lie, you're going to get spanked. It doesn't take many spankings before you learn, hey, it's good not to lie. It's not the intellectual part of it. It's not just getting it in your head. David said, your word have I put in my heart. I put it in my soul. And I bought into it with everything that I have. Here's the package here, and I've purchased the whole package, not in some intellectual relationship, but I've bought into it with all of my heart and all of my soul, and I've put it in my heart that I might not sin against you. And parents, and that's what we've got to do for our children. Here's, I believe, the key to raising godly children. is to put the Word of God in their hearts when they're little. And as they mature, for them to no longer have your faith, but for them to have their individual faith. Chad, you cannot just believe that there's a God, because David and Sky and Shay believes it. If you're really going to be intellectually honest, you need to get in there and examine the evidence and really believe with your heart and your soul that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Colossians chapter 3 says about the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. You hear the word dwell? Here's what Christ says, and it dwells in me. But he says more than that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So what's church all about? What's our Bible class program all about? I feel sorry for you guys. You old people here are not going to be a part of that brand new program that's in the works. It is truly, truly exciting. Now you can be a part of it because you help implement it. You become a part of it someday as teachers. But a brand new way of putting faith in the heart of our children. But you don't need to sing the songs and do the all little tricks to remember things. You're at the point in your life, you put it in your heart. Do you really believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And mamas and daddies, do you really believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? God, help us. Help us to build our faith that will overcome every temptation the devil has to throw at us, overcomes the world, quenches every fiery dart, but it happens because we get inside the Word. Thank you so very much for listening this morning.